This message comes to you from Community Worship Center, Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is our prayer that this word brings guidance, strengthens relationships, inspires outreach, and draws you deeper into worship. At Community Worship Center, our motto is, "Let's grow together." May this message encourage your spirit and ignite your faith.
We're just grateful to be here today. If you would please turn with me in your copy of the scripture to the division of our Psalm 46, the 46th division of Psalm, for textual consideration this morning. Thank you to our audiovisual team and our media and our musicians. They do the work behind the scenes, and so we praise God for them. Amen. Will you, Psalm 46, when you find it, please say amen. Psalm 46. The Bible records this. It says, God is. God is. God is. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters therefore rage and are troubled, and though the mountains shake with swelling, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. I want to speak under this subject title this morning. God is our refuge. God is our refuge. Father, now we have opened your word, and I pray you add blessing to it, to the reader, the hearer, as well as the doer. But Lord, at the conclusion of my sermonic thoughts, I pray that your people will get a clearer picture of who you are and be drawn to your love. For this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Family, if it's all right with you, I just want to talk to you this morning. Is it all right? Your pastor is a great homiletician and practitioner who handles the word of God quite skillfully. So I just want to talk to you this morning. Is that all right? As part of my bio read, is that I am a grief coach. And this past Wednesday, Elder, I was in prayer meeting. And my dear Elder, she was leading prayer meeting, and she was talking about the power of prayer. And she began to ask us, do you remember your first prayer that you learned? People began to share their first prayer. And then she continued to talk about the maturation of prayer and the importance of developing a prayer life. And she talked about how our prayers have grown over the years. And after all of that, she got to some of her summary thoughts, and she began to say, not only am I grateful that I can pray, but I'm grateful that my mama prayed for me. And she said, not only am I grateful that my mama prayed for me, she says, but my mama prays for me. She said, the greatest gift that I have received is knowing that my mama prays for me. And she began to go into tears. And before I could figure out what was happening. You all, I was in an ugly cry. No, it was real ugly. It was an ugly cry. It was a real ugly. I'm talking about I had to put my face in my hands. And I was weeping like a baby. And at first, I couldn't figure out why I was weeping so. And I was trying to close the rest of prayer meeting. I had to tell them, hold on just a minute. I couldn't turn back on my camera because we do prayer meeting on Zoom, because more people come to prayer meeting on Zoom. And I couldn't turn my camera back on because I didn't want people to see me in tears. My voice was already cracking. But it was something about the words that she said, my mama prayed for me. I had a meeting right after we were getting off the prayer line, and I was trying to get myself together to start the meeting, and I had to text my elder, can you start the meeting, because grief has hit me out of nowhere. I tried to start the meeting, but I had to turn my camera back off, cut the sound, because I was weeping like a baby. And then it hit me that it was November the 19th, the day that my mother had passed. And sometimes in our subconscious mind, there are things that are buried that come back at unexpected times. And for me, when she said my mama prayed for me, she said that my mama prays for me. The reality is that my mama can't pray for me, because my mother is resting in her grave, waiting on the voice of God to call her from her sleeping place. And so here I was, grieving and in sorrow, remembering my mother, a lovely lady, a beautiful lady, a godly lady, a lady who would pray for me. But family, can I tell you that this is a season of grief? When I look down in the Caribbean and I think about my wife's family, who is from St. Elizabeth, and I see the devastation of the recent hurricanes, torn apart, homes that have been torn apart, homes that have been washed away, seeing the images as if a bomb has gone off in that area. My heart is stricken when I see places that I took pictures at that no longer exist. Then I begin to think about my family members who were trying to make ends meet because they were furloughed by the federal government. At the same time, their job was being threatened if they didn't report to work, saying you can't take time off or take a vacation. I begin to think about the people who are just trying to make it in this country, trying to live the American dream, only to be consistently threatened by ICE. Sisters and brothers living in fear, not knowing is this going to be their last day of just trying to make a living. Wondering if the policies and the paperwork is going to work out, if the politics is going to work in their favor. When I find myself under these circumstances, family, can I tell you, I need a word from the Lord. I need some place to go because the grief is heavy. I think about my member who was bringing relief aid to the church so that we could send barrels down to Jamaica. And he was just two blocks from the church and somebody cut him off. And he has a bad car accident. That day, he was able to get out of the car and walk around, walk to the police car, sit down, then be taken to the hospital. I visited him the next day, and I was able to have a full-fledged conversation with him where he told me everything that happened. But today and yesterday, we were planning his funeral. Oh. I just said, can I talk to you today? I got a lot that's heavy on my heart. And so, family, I'm just in a season of grief. And I know I can't be by myself, because I know some of you thinking about your family members, your loved ones, and how you can get aid to them, how you can send some relief. But I'm so glad that God has the word of God. That heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will stand forever. And so, family, when my heart is overwhelmed, I go to the rock that high, that is higher than I. And God's word speaks to me in the midst of my grief and sorrow. And God's word says to me, God is. Is there anybody in here today that just needs to hear that word, that God is? Despite the furlough, God is. Despite the disaster that Hurricane Melissa caused, God is. Despite the doctor's diagnoses, God is. Anybody in here needs to hear a word like that, that God is. And I love what God does. He tailors himself to our situation. And the psalmist says that God is our place of escape. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. But every now and again, I just want to get away from people. I just want to go into my room, pull up the covers, and just be all by myself. As a place of solitude, I just want to get my mind together, because not everybody know the pressure of what I'm facing, what I'm feeling. And I just need a place of quiet. I just need a place of refuge and a place of recovery because of what I'm going through and what I'm experiencing. But I want to let somebody here today know that not only is God a refuge, and refuge is not a place, but refuge is a person. God is our refuge. See, the people of God were surrounded by turbulence when this psalm was written. They were under military threat and political instability and national anxiety. Don't it sound like the world we're living in today? So the psalmist begins to declare, where can I go? Where can I turn? Where can I hide? He says, God is. God is our place of escape. And I don't know about you, after the kids have gotten on your nerve. Hello, somebody. You're trying to figure out why your spouse is going crazy. And why the dog keeps barking. And why these bills keep on coming. And they come in different amounts every month. You're like, wait a minute. Sometimes you just need a place of refuge. And I just want to remind the believer today that God is the place of escape for you and I. See, the psalmist reminds us that we can be traversing this life and not know where we're going to end up. But you got to know that God is whatever you need. And in this instance, he is the place of solitude. I love it, because sometimes the pressure is so deep. Now, y'all don't judge me. I feel like y'all judging me a little bit, that I want to go hide sometimes and get in the closet and pray nobody calls my name. Okay, do I have any honest Christians in the house? Brothers, you trying to carry the load and you trying to hold up the family, and you know the pressures that you are facing, and sometimes you just have to sit in the car for a while. Gather your thoughts so you can show up in the best way possible. And so here I'm just saying to us, family,
that you got to know that when life gets overwhelming, you have a place where you can go. You can run into the arms of God. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When mother, this is my scripture. This is for me because my mother and my father are both sleeping in their grave beside one another. And when mother and father forsake you, the Lord will take me up. He becomes a father and a mother to me. He holds me with his righteous right hand. And is there anybody here that can testify that they found comfort in the arms of God? Not only is he my place of escape, that secret place. You know, it's like hide and seek. Y'all remember hide and seek? You find that one place where you know nobody can get to you, and you just hide out, because you know they can't find you. And I'm trying to tell you, when life is heavy and when the devil is after you, the place that you go hide is in the presence of God. Hide in his presence. That's why my favorite scripture says, let us therefore come with confidence to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and then find the grace to help us in the time of need. And I don't know about you, but every now and again, I'm overwhelmed by life. And I just had to say, God, would you help me? He said, oh, Sean, I hear you. You calling on the right one. I hear you. And so he says, God is our refuge. But he didn't leave it incomplete. He compares it and he puts a companion with it. He says, God is our refuge and strength. In other words, sometimes the load gets heavy. Okay. So y'all don't go through stuff in life by your response. You don't face trouble. You've never been laid off from your job. You've never been walked out of the office. You've never been told we don't have a position for you here anymore. You never had to deal with life circumstances where you couldn't pay your mortgage and they said, now you have to leave. I know you've never faced that before. But I don't know about you, but me, when I closed the casket on my mother, although I've preached hundreds of funerals and walked with other families, I had to be strong for my... God had to be my strength. Okay, maybe I'm being too vulnerable, too open. But hopefully I can help somebody here today. We just processing grief together. Can we do that? That in the midst of your grief and your sorrow, because some of you see the images on the television and you want to fly to Jamaica and you can't get there, but you say, God, would you be my strength? Would you hold me up? Because sometimes life will make you weak. It will drain your energy. It will zap your strength. And you can't figure out, why is it that I'm going through one trial after another? Can I tell you, there are some winning seasons, but then there are some losing seasons. Okay? You don't always win. And somebody have lied to us and told us that if we grab it and blab it, calling and hollering, then God is going to bless us. But sometimes God lets you go through the trouble. Y'all do know the psalm said, yea, though I walk through the valley. Some of us want to be delivered out of it, but God says, no, you got to go through it, because it's in the through process that you learn how to trust in God. Do I have any company in here that knows that God can carry you through your trial? Somebody here was at the edge of a divorce and you said, let's just give it one more shot. He carried you through. Somebody here, they know their child was going crazy and you kept on praying and God allowed you to go through. Somebody received that diagnosis called the big C word, cancer, and God called you to it and called you through it. And now you can say that God is my strength.
You need strength today. I know you got big, broad shoulders and you can carry everything by yourself. No, you can't. You're crazy if you think you can. If you think you can carry it by yourself, I come to make an announcement. You're crazy. Because life will overwhelm you.
I love what Ellen White says. She says it like this. She says, the presence of Jesus is the believer's assurance of strength in weakness and of light in darkness in the midst of turmoil.
So today, family, I just came to announce to you that while you are dealing with anxiety and while you have this deep grief, that God is.
Put whatever you want to behind that. And in this instance, he's my hiding place. And he's my strength that's keeping me strong. Because when I was in that room and crying like a baby, God lifted me up. Why? Because I remembered the word of God. And God shall wipe all tears from their eyes.
Some of you have cried and you didn't let nobody know you were crying. Some of you have felt the pressure of this life and you were ready to give up and nobody could understand you. But God was your strength. But the psalmist, he didn't stop at God is our refuge and God is our strength. But he adds these words, a very present help in trouble. All right, let's say it one more time. A very present help in trouble. Okay, I'll say it one more time. A very present help.
All right, let's pause. Let's pause. Let's pause. Let's pause. I'm in trouble. But he's present. I'm in trouble. But he's present. My kids, they play sports and he played sports with some of the kids from this church. Some of my kids do, and when they're out on the field, you're trying to coach them from afar. And you don't like some of the stuff they do, and every now and again they get hurt, and they have a skin on their knee, and all of this here. But one thing my kids always come and do is run to the sideline. Why do they run to the sideline? Because I'm present. And while I can't get in the game for them, I can stand on the sideline and cheer them on. And can I tell you, God can't get in the fight with you, but he will tell you how to handle the fight. He's a very present. And then watch this. Help. All right. Did y'all get it? He's helping you in your trouble. Why would you not call on his name? Why would you not activate his power? One day, a little boy went into the candy store, and the father said, as much candy as you can get, as much candy as you can get in your hands, he says, you can get that candy. And so the little boy, he assessed the situation. He said, man, I want a lot of candy.
And the little boy said, he looked at his hands. He said, my hands are small. He said, Daddy, come here, Daddy. Would you put your hand in there and grab that candy? And the dad said, why are you calling me to grab the candy? He said, my hands are small, but your hands are big. Ah, y'all just missed it. That in the midst of your trouble, his hands are big. His hands are bigger than your hands, and he can be your help. In your trouble. I hope y'all hearing me today. We just process. I just want to talk to you. Can we just talk a little bit? That he's a very present help. My sister said right now. In trouble. Now, I don't know about you, but these last 9 months of this administration has just been absolutely crazy. And everything is turning on a dime. Every day you wake up to some news story that just cannot be true. Am I by myself? You have to say, no way that headline read that. And you go to CNN, NBC, and ABC to see if it's the same thing. Only to realize that it is. And you got to say, Lord, we are in trouble. Especially those who have been kissed by the Son. We're in trouble. Cutting the Civil Rights Act. Cutting immigration. Cutting the all these reforms of affirmative action that were put in place to help us. But God is a help in trouble. That's why people are wondering why we're dancing. People are wondering why we're still singing. People are wondering why we're still shouting. Because some trust in horses and some trust in chariots. But we will trust and lean on the name of the Lord. Do I have any company in the house here that say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him? You can put me in the fire. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm not afraid to answer you in this. My God is able to deliver us. But if not, I thought I had some but if nots in the house. But if not, we're still not going to bow. I'm going to hold to the Lord's unchanging hand. I'm going to hold to his hand. I'm going to hold to God's unchanging hand. He is a very present help in trouble. He says, therefore, we will not fear. And family, that's one of the things that we face that cripples us from reaching our full potential is fear. But greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. And you got to know that the devil might be mighty, but God is almighty. The devil might be powerful, but God has all power in his hands. And so look at what the psalmist does in the text, elder. He gives inanimate objects characterization. He says, though the earth be removed, like the earth can go run, skipping, and jumping. And then he says, and though the mountains are carried and go skip into the sea. And though the waters, they roar and are troubled. And though the mountains shake and swell. Watch this. He says, there is a river. Okay. Now, some scholars suggest that there is not really an actual river that runs through Jerusalem. But springs come up after water have come and ran off the mountain and down into the valley. Now, this is what some of the scholars assert. They said, so then, because there are springs that spring up, you might could say that there is rivers.
But he superimposes on the text and says, there is a river. Can you speak those things that be not as though they were? I'm just taking some exegetical license right there. There is a river. And then he says, and the river, the streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacles of the Most High. In other words, can God provide something where there was nothing? Let me say it like this. Can God make a way? Okay, y'all know that language. He can make a way out of no way. I didn't understand that when I was a kid, and I used to hear that in church. But I can testify that God will make a way out of no way. I was flying, and I was in the Charlotte airport with my family, Charlotte, North Carolina airport. And my wife was sitting with me, and she said, Sean, I smell fish. And I said, I don't smell fish. And so for the medical persons in the house, you recognize what this is. This is an EpiPen. This is a life-saving device for me. I am severely allergic to fish. My acuity is so high that they say even a microorganism of cross-contamination can send me to a full anaphylactic reaction. Even the smell of fish can make me have a full reaction. And I'm sitting in the Charlotte airport. Help me, somebody. And I can't smell the fish, but my wife smells the fish. And she says, we got to get out of here. But before I could get out of there, I start having a full reaction. And can I tell you, family, that in the Charlotte airport, God made a way out of no way. I didn't know that they had medical personnel that could come and start running IVs in your body. But on that day, medical personnel showed up and began to run medicine in my body. And where I couldn't breathe, can I tell you, I was still able to make my flight because God, he was a river. In the middle of a desert of an airport, and he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He will make a river. He made a hospital in an airport just for little old me. And if God can do that for me, can I tell you, he'll do for you. And so the psalmist says, God is in the middle of his people. In other words, he's standing right there. There's nothing you can do to get around him. He's big, he's bad, he's bold, and he's standing with you in the midst of whatever you are going through. He's in the middle of his people. The text says, this is verse 5, find me there. But then he says, God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. In other words, God says, the devil can't stop this blessing. The devil can't stop this flow. When God opens up a door for you, no man is going to be able to close it. It shall not be moved. It's not until God says so, then it will be so. But it shall not be moved. When your enemy comes up against you, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And I don't know about you, but I'm in my season of grieving, and I'm in my season of loss. But I'm finding God like I found God like never before. And my prayers are no longer, my Lord, lay me down to sleep. I pray, my Lord, my soul to keep. But I pray, God, would you help me now? Lord, I promise if you get me out of this, I won't do it anymore. Y'all judging me. And then you find yourself doing it again. And then he finds you there again, and he picks you up, and he says, my grace is sufficient for you. He says, keep running, keep walking, keep moving, because I am your God, and can't nothing stop me. Because he reminds me that God shall help her. And that right early.
All right. Let me say it like this, and I'm closing, my friend. The Bible says, God is going to help you. See, we often had a picture of this big angry God who didn't love you, who wanted to judge you for every mistake you made. You know that's how we preached at Adventist. The doors of probation are closing. Will you be ready? That's what they used to say when I was a kid. Y'all remember that preacher? Will you be ready when Jesus comes? You don't know, this may be your last moment. Don't leave before the benediction closes. He could come to you. Y'all remember this one? He could come to your name at any moment. Y'all remember that? And all of that is true, my friends. But before he gets to judgment, he's going to give you all the help you need to make it into the kingdom. He's going to help you. And so I come by to tell somebody here, I don't care what mistake you have made in this life, his grace is sufficient for you. I don't care what the church people say. They don't have the final say over your life. God has the final say. And you may not look like the product of what they want you to look like, but God don't look on the outward. For man looks on the outward, but God, he looks at the heart. And God is going to help you. So if you find yourself down, I'm telling you this morning, get back up. Because he's going to help you. Let me say it like this. He says, where sin abounds, his grace does that much more. I don't care what it is you've done. You robbed, you stole, you cheated. But his grace does much more than that. And you need to be able to claim the promise of God over your life. Because when you are in trouble, he will come before you know it. Because the Bible says that he comes to help you, and he comes to help you early. Let me say it like the book of John. He says that while men were yet before the foundations of the world, Christ was the Lamb who was already slain. And while we were sinners, Christ had already died for us. And is there anybody glad in the house today that God will help you in the midst of your trouble? That God will make a way out of no way? Is there anybody glad that God will get in the midst of your problems, in the midst of your struggle, and walk you through every storm and every trial? I haven't lost my mind because he kept me. I haven't went hungry because he's fed me. I still got clothes because he clothed me, because he's God all by himself. Yeah. And so some of you may be like these karate movies my mama used to watch. Y'all don't know this character, but his name was Charles Bronson. Y'all need to Google this name. Google this name, Charles Bronson. My mama was an avid karate fan, movie watcher. And so we watched all the karate movies. The bad ones where you speak and then the sound come 5 seconds later. All the karate movies, every kind, ninja, karate, jiu-jitsu, whatever it was. And so Charles Bronson, he practiced this slow karate. Can I just tell you, he annoyed me. He annoyed me as a character, right? Because he had this slow karate, and he looks like he's losing all the time. I'm like, why do you have that raggedy toe-up karate? It's terrible karate. But somehow, at the end of him doing all this terrible karate and getting beat up, somehow, he wins. And every now and again, I used to ask myself, why am I sitting through the torture of watching Charles Bronson get beat up and his bad karate? But I could take refuge in the fact that although he was getting beat up, because I know he's the star of the movie, and I've seen other movies before, I take rest in the fact that he always wins. No time has he lost,
because he wins. And so I came by to tell you here at CWC, you might have some raggedy Christian practices, and the devil might be beating you up. But there is a God who will help you. And your story ends like this. And I saw them who had been numbered standing on Mount Zion. And they got their father's name in their forehead. And he asked them a question. He said, how did you get here? He said, these are they. you can help me, bro. I'm going to close. He said, these are they who have gone through. These are they who have gone through great tribulation. And I just wonder if I have a witness in the house who has gone through some tribulation. Do I have any witnesses here? If I have a witness, just wave your hand. That you've gone through great tribulation. Do I have a witness here that you had to cry sometimes? And do I have a witness here who had to sigh sometimes? And do I have a witness here who had to bury their mother? And do I have a witness here who had to bury their father? And do I have a witness here who have lost a job, been put out of a home, had to bury a child? I come by to tell your family that one day God's going to reward you for your trouble, because you're going to stand on Mount Zion and victory. Look at your neighbor, say, victory shall be mine. And you're going to be able to say, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I've learned to depend on his word. And I'm looking forward to the day when this trouble will be over. And they say it like this, soon we'll be done with the troubles of this world. Because he that shall come, he will come. He's coming for you, and he's coming for me. So family, I say that the storms may rage, and the winds may blow, and the earth may shake, and the senses may fail. But there is a refuge, and it's not a place. But that refuge is a person, and his name is Jesus. Anybody know that name? Matchless is the name. Wonderful is that name. Holy is his name. That name is Jesus. Can we bless that name? Can we praise that name? Can we lift up that name? The psalmist said it like this: oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Would you stand and give him glory? Would you stand and give him praise? Will you tell him, thank you, Jesus? Will you tell him, thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Lord. I've been through the storm, and I've been through the rain. I've been broken into pieces. I've seen heartache and pain. But through it all, I'm leaning on Jesus. So can you say yes? Yes. Yes. I'm gonna trust in him. I'm gonna lean on him. I'm gonna depend on him. Because he's Jesus. And he's God all by himself. So family, I just want to have a conversation to remind you. Can you kick it old school with me real quick? You don't have to worry. And don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning.
Troubles they know. There's a friend who will wipe. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands. Say, I know that I can make it. And I know that I, no matter what, don't you be.
And don't you be afraid.
Joy comes.
Joy comes in the morning.
Troubles
they don't last away.
But remember that.
Oh, there's a friend in Jesus.
Who will wipe your tears.
Who will wipe your tears away.
If your heart.
Just lift your hands.
Just lift your hands and say, point to yourself and say,
oh, I know that I can make it.
And I know that
I know that I can stand.
No matter what.
With him I know I can stand.
No matter what.
No matter what may come my way.
My
life is in your hands.
You don't have to worry.
You don't have to worry.
And don't you be afraid.
And don't you be afraid.
'Cause joy comes.
Troubles they don't last always.
But they remember.
Oh, there's a friend in Jesus.
Who will
wipe your tears away.
And if your heart is broken.
And if your heart is broken.
Just lift your hands.
Just lift your hands and say.
I know
that I can make it.
I know that I can.
No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. With Jesus I can take it.
With him I know I can.
With him I know I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands.
Today, I just want to pray for somebody. If you're in a season of grief like me, and you just need prayer, a prayer covering, a prayer that God can keep you, that God will hold you despite what you're experiencing, would you meet me down here? You just want God to help you in your trouble. You're in a season of grief, and you want God to do something for you, just to hold you, just to keep you. Life gets heavy, life gets hard. And we just need him to move in our life sometimes. Oh, Father, you have said in your word that in this world that you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And so, God, there are those who have pressed forward here this morning because, Lord, they are in an hour of bereavement, of grief. Anxiety is trying to take over, and they are overwhelmed, Father. And, Lord, they just need a touch from you. They just need to be reminded that you have never left them, you have never forsaken them, and you are keeping them by the power of your grace.
Lord, remind them that you are very present help in trouble, and that you are our place to go and to gain strength. So God, I pray that you help them. Lift the burden of grief off of them now, and give them joy in the midst of their sorrow and sadness. I thank you, God, that you are with us. I thank you that you're present, and I thank you that you are near. I bless your name. But Lord, before I close this prayer, there's somebody, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, who needs to say, I surrender. I want you to be my secret place. I want you to be my hiding place, the place where I can go, where you can keep me. And so, God, as I pause to make this appeal, I pray that you touch their heart. So today, if there is one who is saying, God, I need you as my hiding place. I want to give you my life, and I want to give you my heart, and I want to commit by saying I'm going to be baptized and give my life to Jesus and go into the watery grave of baptism. The first response is that I'm giving Jesus my life. Second response is I'm going into the water and I'm going to be baptized as a sign that I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. So if that's you, why don't you raise your hand and the Bible counselors are going to come to you. Just raise your hand and the Bible counselors are going to come to you. You're giving your life to the Lord Jesus and the Bible counselors are going to come to you. Just raise your hand. With every head bowed, every eye closed, just raise your hand. They're going to come to you. You're giving your life to the Lord Jesus. You're making a commitment. He's going to be your hiding place. He's going to be your refuge. And then secondly, you're going to be baptized as a sign that he has saved and you are surrendered to him. So where are you today? Raise that hand and they're going to come to you. Just raise your hand. They're going to come. Just slip it in the air. You can do it. He did it for you. You can do it for him. This is the best decision you'll ever make in your life. Giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just giving your life to the Lord Jesus is the best thing you could ever do. Just raise your hand. I'm only going to appeal for a few more seconds because we have to close. Where are you? Just raise your hand. Come on, just raise your hand. Just raise the hand. You don't have to worry. And don't you be afraid. And don't you be afraid. Because joy comes. Come on. Just raise the hand. We're going to sing this verse. And I'm going to close my prayer.
For there's a friend in Jesus.
This is what he'll do.
Who will wipe your tears away.
And if your heart is broken.
And if your heart is broken.
Just lift your hand.
Just lift your hands and say.
I know
that I.
Come on, lift that hand. Just lift that hand. Just lift that hand.
I know that I.
Just lift that hand. Just lift the head. No matter.
No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands.
Father, we thank you that you are here. Thank you for those who have responded to your word. Continue to see your word in their hearts. We bless you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.